Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Judge Richard Posner in the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals is flat wrong on marriage. I am Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber to talk about this important situation. Matt, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, 1 week after hearing oral arguments on marriage from two different states, it's located in Chicago, Illinois, but it was hearing arguments from two different states, ultimately ruled in a 3-0 decision that the marriage laws are unconstitutional. It was authored by Richard Posner, but I think it is important to understand the worldview of Richard Posner, and it's not surprising why he came to this particular wrong decision.
Well, Posner cites Alfred Kinsey, who has been discredited, debunked widely for his so-called research, his book Sexuality in the Human Male and Human Female. Dr. Judith Riesman, of course, has roundly discredited Alfred Kinsey, yet Posner goes to the fallacious, the fraudulent so-called research of Alfred Kinsey, and that has developed and colored his secularist worldview that is just detached from reality.
Yeah, you know, Kinsey says the two Kinsey reports, he's speaking about the 1948 and 1953 books on human sexuality, sexuality in human male and sexuality in the human female. He says the two Kinsey reports remain the high watermark of descriptive sexology. That's what he wrote. He says that Kinsey is the central figure in the scholarly science of sexology, and that's in Posner's book, Sex in Reason, on page 19. But, you know, if you go to table 35 in Kinsey's book, Sexuality in the Human Male, the 1948 book, it leaves little doubt that Kinsey participated in criminal and disgusting behavior. Several tables, literally record children having sexual responses as young as a couple of months. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Well, Kinsey systemically had children sexually molested and facilitated those
and
molestations.
Paid the sexual molesters to report the information to him.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, and we know, Judith Riesman specifically knows, people who are alive today whose father or grandfather were paid by Kinsey to engage in sexual molestation against their own kids or allow sexual molestation against them and then report that to
and
Kinsey.
And to time the responses with a stopwatch.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Well, here's another thing from Richard Posner, who wrote the decision. Again, he's a federal court of appeals judge, and this is in his book, page 216, Economic Analysis of the Law. He is what's called a law and economics worldview individual who judges everything by cost-benefit analysis and the best, most use of the greatest amount of people. Now, it may work okay in business and in torts or something like that, where you're looking at personal injury issues. But he applies it also to criminal law, family law, constitutional law. Here's his discussion in this book on rape. Listen to this. Rape bypasses the market in sexual relations, marital and otherwise, in the same way that theft bypasses markets in ordinary goods and services, and it therefore should be forbidden. But some rapists derive extra pleasure from the fact that the woman has not consented. For these rapists, there is no market substitute. Market transactions cost are prohibited. And it could be argued, therefore, that for them, rape is not a pure coercive transfer and should not be punished if the pleasure to the rapist, as measured by what he would be willing to pay, though not to the victim, for the right to rape, exceeds the victim's physical and emotional pain. So if the pleasure to the rapist exceeds the victim's emotional pain, it could be argued that he should be allowed to do it. He goes on to say, there are practical objections such as that these rapists are hard to distinguish empirically from mere thieves of sex, and that giving them free rein would induce women to invest heavily in self-protection. But which would in turn incite heavy spending by rapists to overcome that investment. In other words, they might arm themselves and try to defend themselves. But the fact that any sort of rape license is even thinkable within the framework of the wealth maximization theory that guides so much of the analysis in this book is a limitation on the usefulness of that theory. What generates the possibility of a rape license, is the fact that the rapist's utility is weighted the same as his victim's utility. If it were given a zero weight in the calculus of cost and benefits, a rape license could not be efficient. The only persuasive basis for such a weighting, however, would be a moral principle different from efficiency. Now, the moral principle, he believes, is not viable. You should not have morality as a basis of law.
Yeah.
So he eliminates any kind of moral compass, and he looks at it as a cost benefit. If the rapist derives more pleasure because there's only that market because of the forcible rape, that's the pleasure that this person gets that he can't get under normal consensual sexual activity. If that benefit to him is greater than the harm to the woman, then maybe what we ought to do is license the rapist so that there are people who could have licenses to rape. And that person then would pay to have that license to be able to engage in rape, because for that person, the pleasure is greater than the harm to the woman. And you cannot add a moral compass to that because he wipes that out. Now, he also, in that same book, on the same page, goes on to talk about rape among married couples. And that in that situation, the couples have already consented to the market of sexual relations. So having consented to that and having engaged in sexual relations, can the woman actually argue that there is domestic rape when she does not want to consent and the husband forces her? He ultimately is more on the side that there can't be domestic rape because the person has already consented to the market of sexual exchange, and therefore, even though she doesn't want to engage in sexual relations, and the man does, too bad for the woman because she's already engaged in the marketplace of the sex exchange. I mean, this is the bizarre, bankrupt thinking of this particular judge, and also I should say the limitations of this law and economics theory, where everything is cost-benefit analysis, and it is this kind of worldview, Matt, that is behind this recent decision of this court striking down the marriage laws. Now, when most people realize that's the worldview, and he supports Alfred Kinsey, thinks he's the greatest person on the sexology studies, that ultimately, I think, is shocking to people, and people need to know this is the worldview behind this decision.
Unbelievable. A rape license. Judge Richard Posner, so-called pro-marriage equality judge who has become a hero to the left, is talking about the utility of a rape license. And that's what this is. It's utilitarianism applied to morality. Now, morality is fixed. It is objective. It is unchanging. But to the relativist, who, just like marriage is fixed and unchanging, to the relativist, things are malleable and can be changed, even up to and including justifying a rape license. Where's the left on this, Matt? Why don't we hear them decrying in this so-called rape culture that you're hearing so much about? Why aren't they decrying Richard Posner?
You know, it's just like Planned Parenthood or any other organization that say that they're really in favor of women, and they're really not. They really have one agenda. And it's the end justifies the means. They're interested in the end, and that's why you don't see any pushback from the left. You can go to Liberty Counsel's website. We have this and much more information that we can talk about and give information. The website is lc.org. It's lc.org. Again, our website is lc.org. You can also go to libertycounsel.com, libertycounsel.com, C-O-U-N-S-E-L. That's another website that consolidates a lot of the different aspects of Liberty Counsel Enterprises, which is Liberty Counsel, Liberty Counsel Action, and other activities as well, libertycounsel.com. And on that website, you can sign up for an email in addition to our Liberty Alert email That is our grassroots action email. This particular email allows you to engage in public policy from a national perspective so that your voice can be heard on important national and other issues that affect your family, faith, and freedom. That's, again, libertycouncil.com. Also, call us at 800-671-1776 or go to lc.org. You can order the book Same-Sex Marriage, Putting Every Household at Risk, Only One Mommy, and also Judith Reisman's book, Sexual Sabotage and Stolen Honor, Stolen Innocence. Those and other resources are available at lc.org.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.